Welcome to the Character Chronicles, the People's Show. Check the Post of Nebraska Nation, brought to you by Nebraska Spine Hospital. Today I'm joined by a special guest. He is the all-time kick return yardage leader in Husker history with 2,265 all-time return yards. Also not too shabby, top two single season kick return yardage leader with just under 1,994 return yards in a single season as well. Josh Davis, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Adam. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, we were just kind of chatting before the interview about how completely and utterly normal this year is and how there's absolutely nothing weird or off the wall about it. How you been doing?
I'm doing great. And you know what? When we were chatting, I forgot to bring this up. I just want to start by saying, everybody, you know, put your thoughts and prayers towards former Husker football player Jim McFarland. He's got stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which has spread to his liver. His life expectancy is about 30 days now.
Oh, geez.
So, this guy, he's a tight end. He played back on the 1970 National Championship team. But Jim McFarland, for those of you that know who that is, please send your prayers out to him and his family. It looks like his journey's kind of coming to an end here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep him in our thoughts and our prayers. He's a part of that Husker brotherhood, trying to transition and talk a little bit of Husker football now. So special teams, obviously you had a lot of success in general, but special teams, you did really, really well there. So talk to me, because special teams has kind of been up and down for the Huskers the past couple seasons. What's the key to having success in one third of the game, sometimes overlooked, but is equally as important, known as special teams?
I think it's definitely has to do with all the players' mindsets on that has to be of the understanding that it's still one third of the entire team that makes a difference in the ball game. You got your offense, which is huge, defense, and then special teams can really turn a ball game around one way or the other. I mean, you can get a punt blocked. That's going to really reverse, you know, the momentum in a game. You could have a punt return or a kickoff return for a touchdown. You could have a muffed punt. You know, there's so many things that can happen and go wrong. They have changed the rules a little bit this year in the last couple of years. It's a lot different than when you and I played, Adam. I mean, it looks like you can fair catch it a lot now.
It's, yeah,
it's like what a lot of teams are going to now, which is it's odd to watch for me, but it kind of is what it is. They got some guys on Nebraska special teams though that look like they can make an impact. I really liked Cam Taylor Britz, his energy that last game. He took the missed field goal. It looked like he had an opportunity to break it all the way.
He had a chance.
Explosive return off of that.
Yep.
And so you need guys like that on your special teams. You need guys with the mindset that they think they're the difference in the ball game as well. They got to be consistent with what they're doing. They got to be honed in. And I think that's what we had during the time that I was there. And I know they got the right coaching staff to put that together there now. And so it's really of the player's mindset of wanting to make a play and go out there and execute.
Now, why do some teams, and you may have just partially answered it, but just focusing specifically on the return game, and I know you can fair catch the ball at the 5 and you automatically get it at the 25 on kickoff returns, which still isn't normal to me, but why do some teams, okay, seem to struggle so much in their return game specifically, kickoff return, punt return, and other teams seem to have continued success? What is the difference? What's the secret recipe there, Josh?
I definitely think it has to be a focus by the coaching staff to make sure that they put the time in for special teams during the week. You know, you got X amount of hours you're allowed to, you know, appropriate towards each practice per rules by the NCAA. And, you know, how many of those hours or minutes do you dedicate towards special teams and what do you use for the rest of that time? So you really got to make sure that you got guys on the same page with watching film on special teams. Before and after games, you got to make sure that they're in the right place at practice, and you got to make sure you spend the time on it. Because I think that's usually what makes the difference is the time commitment that the coaches put into it. But then again, it's the players you have on there that want to go out there and make plays. Usually a lot of it's the younger players, but you'll have some older season guys in there to go out there and make plays. You know, have some pride in the fact that you're on the special teams. And that can make a huge difference. It's a lot of player-driven, but again, you got to spend some time on it and practice too. That may be the difference. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of times coaches, And obviously, they don't want to overlook anything, but you spend so much time on offense and defense and scheme and getting an advantage and a down block with a kick-out block or a pin block or, you know, some sort of special blitz that the other offensive line can't handle. Sometimes special teams do tend to get overlooked because schematically it's not as complicated, so you don't have to spend as much time. So I agree with you. That is very important. And it's funny, you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I heard someone talk about special teams – and how well a team does on special teams is a good indicator for the entire program of where the mindset and the culture is at. Because if teams struggle on special teams, it's typically such an effort play. Like I just said, it's not that complicated. Not that it's uber simple, but it's not as complicated as offense or defense can be, especially offense. And so a lot of times it's just pure effort, mindset, culture, you know, how you attack it. And a lot of times if teams are struggling on special teams, it's because there's a lack of that, and it's a carryover to the entire attitude of the team, at least to a degree. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's 100%. You hit it right on the head. And that I agree with anybody that says that's about the culture of it. If you think special teams isn't important, why do we start every single game with a kickoff? It's the number one thing we do.
Very true.
You know, so, you know, it shows how important it can be, and it can really, again, it can change momentum in a ball game so quickly on special teams. And, you know, usually, to your point, those teams that are excellent on special teams, that really reflects on the rest of their you know, the rest of the offense and the defense and the culture and the mindset that's around that program.
I will never forget, I believe it was Oklahoma State, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first game that I ever played in as a redshirt freshman was our first game of the year, home game, I believe it was Oklahoma State. And I remember, I mean, not only were you punt returner, kick returner, you were the starting running back. I remember thinking, man, he's going to be so tired at the end of the night.
But listen, you know, that game especially because, you know, remember how jacked up you are as a first season.
Yeah.
You know, we were coming off a bad season where we were 7-7. And we had a lot to prove. We were an underdog in that game too, which is interesting at home.
Yeah.
And so
we did win, by the way, for those who
you know how that is, Adam.
Yeah.
I just tried to prepare every day and practice and make sure I was in good enough shape to play all three. But I felt like I was in great shape, but you know, I had to be. I was doing a lot out there, and I was just honored to be a part of those teams and work my ass off to put myself in that position.
We did win that game, for those who may not remember that. So, talking about the running back position a little bit, which you played. So, Dedrick Mills got banged up in the last game. But even before then, he hasn't gotten a ton of touches this year. All right, as a former running back, what would your approach be to something like that?
I did notice that, especially this last game. I was wondering where he was at because it looked like he started a little bit of the game and then he disappeared. And appeared, I guess he had gotten injured. But, you know, prior to that, you know, for any running back, I think they would understand, and a lot of people that are in skilled positions, you got to get a lot of repetitions out there to get any kind of rhythm going. You know, it's really hard to get a rhythm going if you're just thrown in there for a play and you're jerked out for a couple plays, maybe thrown in there for another play. You really got to pace yourself and try to get the right rhythm going to be interjected in the game and get in the flow of the game. So I think with that, the more they can rotate those backs that they do have. It sounds like Dedrick Mills is the bell cow. He's the big dog back there. And then you got Wandell Robinson, who looks like he's the kind of explosive little shifty back. The more these guys can get in the game and get kind of a flow for it and get a rhythm for it, the better off Nebraska will be.
So talk to me, because the offense, it's been well documented, talked about quite a bit, but I wanted to get your thoughts. The offense has done very, very well in the first half of these three first games, the second half, not so much. Okay, if you look at the last two games, we've outscored Northwestern and Penn State 40-13 in the first half alone. Throughout the second half of our entire season, we've been outscored 59-6. What are your thoughts on this and how well the offense does in the first half versus the second half? And it's been admitted this last game, maybe they got into let's run the clock, let's not make the big mistake, you know, in the second half. And obviously, I think reflecting on that, the coaches recognize that wasn't the best way to approach it. But even going back to games 1 and 2, Ohio State, Northwestern, we just haven't had that success in the second half compared to the first half. What do you attribute that to?
I agree with you 100%. That's one of the things I was looking at this team. I think it's just about the mindset of finishing the game in the second half. It seems like Nebraska comes out and they've got a lot of energy in the first half, as you mentioned. They're very explosive. And then in the second half, for whatever reason, that rhythm, that energy isn't there again. Maybe it's a lack of focus after coming out of the second half. Maybe it's some things that they're doing play calling wise, which is maybe throwing the offense out of rhythm. But I think Nebraska left a lot of points on the field in the second half against Penn State. When you watch the film on that last game, looks like McCaffrey threw a great pass to Warner, which was dropped in the end zone. That was 7 points. And then they had a lot of trips down in the red zone where they settled for 3 points. So it's just a mindset that to continue to finish the game and keep your foot on the gas and score as many points as you can. They have the ability and potential. You saw it in the first half of these games to be explosive. And so they got to carry that all the way through. I think one of the things that maybe kind of is a distraction for Nebraska was and still kind of maybe is, and maybe it's been put to rest, is the quarterback situation. It looks like Luke McCaffrey, of all indications to me, really brought a great spark. And I'd be shocked if he wasn't the starting quarterback for the next game. And so he seems to bring a lot of energy, and it's going to be up to him to be able to hone in the rest of his teammates and be able to finish these drives, as he's going to be the one that's going to be touching the ball the most. And I'm excited to see what that looks like with Luke McCaffrey. And I think what they need to do with Adrian, I mean, he's an exceptional athlete as well. If Luke's going to be starting at quarterback, and looks like he played the entire game last game, maybe find another position where Adrian can contribute. He's a great athlete. I mean, maybe a tight end or H-back or something like that. But, as many ways as they can get their best athletes on the field, I think that gives Nebraska the best chance to beat all the teams that are remaining on their schedule.
Now, some people may or may not know that your dad is Tough Tony Davis, the running back for the Huskers in the 70s, was a star for the team, Sugar Bowl MVP at one point. All right, also the Cincinnati Bengals team MVP at one point. What's your dad up to? How's he doing these days?
He's doing great. He lives in Colorado, where I live. We're both from Fort Collins. He plays a lot of golf.
Is he any good?
He's pretty good.
All right, I'm not. Okay, go ahead.
Go there daily. So.
Yeah, okay.
He stays fit. He stays in the gym. He always looks good. He takes care of his body. And then, of course, he plays golf a lot. So, he's an avid, rabid Husker fan. You know that. And every game we try to at least talk about what's going on during the game or after the game if we're not watching it together. So it's an honor to have him in my family. And it's just been a blessing to have both of us play at University of Nebraska.
Has he had any – well, obviously, you've talked to him. So what are some of his thoughts that you feel comfortable sharing that he shared with you on the Huskers so far this year?
I think a lot of – I think it was kind of echoing some of the sentiments I said where, they leave some points on the field. I think we didn't really touch on the defense of the conversation, but I think the defense looks exceptionally better than they did last year as a whole. There's some plays that they've left out on the field, but I think they look like they're playing much better as a group. But we like it when Nebraska runs a lot of their option plays. Of course, we ran when you and I were going to school there, Adam, because they've been really effective on the opponents, and they were effective for years when we went to school there and even before that. So I think Scott is doing a great job at implementing a lot of these RPOs and some of these option plays. Now it's up to Luke McCaffrey to get, himself in a rhythm and try to execute and get this team moving in the right direction. It appears as though he's going to be running the show.
All right, man, I want to thank you for joining me. Tell your dad we said hello. Tell your brother our rec baseball team's going to kick his rec baseball team's butt again this year. I look forward to that. But thanks for joining me.
Love you, Adam. Love what you're doing. Character Chronicles, man. Go Big Red.
All right, until next time, Husker Nation, go Big Red, and always remember to throw the bones. Thanks again to our sponsor, Nebraska Spine Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's your spine, you do not want to mess around, and experience matters. That's why you can trust the experts at Nebraska Spine Hospital, the region's only spine-specific hospital. They are the best at what they do.